Next on BYUSN, hey, it's a bye week. Who should fans root for this weekend in the Big 12? We'll present our rootables. Plus, College Football Hall of Famer Gifford Nielsen will join us to discuss what has impressed him the most about a 5-0 start.
College football metrics guru Kelly Ford will join us to discuss why his metrics at BYU as his most overachieving team. And is Kyle Van Noy off to the best start of any Cougar in the NFL this season?
He might be. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, October 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who I believe can still dunk, Austin Colley.
Cannot dunk. Tried it. Ruptured the Achilles.
Is that what happened?
About a year and a half ago.
You were trying to dunk.
No, was playing basketball. Elevated. Okay, wasn't even trying to dunk. Was just trying to take a jumper.
Achilles done.
Achilles done. Yeah, ask some of the BYU guys about it.
Please don't try that again.
Listen, there's nothing like having a rehab without the medical attention that you used to get.
Dude.
It was a dark, dark place.
I can imagine.
It was a rough year.
How's it feeling now?
Great, because I don't leave Earth.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
I've got such PTSD, dude. Like, I do not take off. Like, my feet stay planted on the ground at all times.
This is a firm foundation.
Yeah.
No pun intended there for Austin Colley.
Hey, I see what you did. Hey,
you got it. You're following. Hey, you know who also has their Achilles intact and are highly athletic? A couple of the guys that competed in the dunk contest last night at Marriott Madness, profiling BYU men's and women's basketball. Elijah Crawford. Shocked some people. We knew he was super athletic, but
over
windmill
Cosmo too?
Over Cosmo. It's one thing to jump over Cosmo, but the windmill while you do it?
Okay, so who had the better dunk?
Was it Elijah?
Elijah Crawford or Cannon Catchings between the legs, reverse baseline, and that looked effortless, by the way.
Well, here's
that right there looks effortless. That's a Tuesday for him. Which one do you think, Spence?
I'm going to have to go with Cosmo because Cosmo is involved and you jump over the greatest mascot on the entire planet and you windmill. I'm going to give the edge to Elijah Crawford.
You know how hard it is to take the ball and to go between your legs?
I do. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but jumping over Cosmo?
I mean, which Cosmo was it?
Was it a taller one? Short one?
Exactly.
That's a valid point.
Right?
That's a valid point.
But it looked like it was going off last night at the Marriott Center with the basketball score.
Yes. Right? Well, and I'll say this. Elijah is much shorter than Cannon. Cannon's a taller dude.
Okay.
So for what it's worth.
You got to take that in consideration.
Okay. He has the ability to dunk the ball a little bit easier by his height.
Yeah.
But both were fantastic.
You're a basketball player. Could you rip one or no?
I could dunk when I was, like Dallin Hall calls it the rim grazer.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I could like.
You're putting the ball in, and then you're grabbing the rim?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That was my dunk at my athletic peak as a high school basketball player.
I don't
think
there's anything better. There's not a better feeling of being able to dunk a basketball.
Than dunk?
It is. I mean, you feel like you're on top of the world.
Compared to when you tear your Achilles.
Compared to when you tear your Achilles, and especially as like a 6'1 white guy, right?
Oh.
Like, you're feeling pretty proud of yourself.
Hey, good stuff. Glad you're feeling better, too.
Yeah, well. I haven't done anything to test it, so we don't know if I'm feeling it.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
The Big 12 almost has so much parity that there may only be one bid.
I think there's a lot of inertia in favor of Iowa State.
I wouldn't read into one game too much.
They've got Arizona, Oklahoma State, UCF. The fans have every reason to be excited.
Hey, let's embrace the bye week, shall we? BYU football, the number 17 team in the country, will not have a game, obviously. 5-0, so they're watching just like the rest of us, but perched atop the Big 12 standings currently. So we're going to go game by game, Austin, and have some fun today on a Friday where BYU doesn't have a game and look through the Big 12 lineup to discuss who BYU fans should be rooting for. We call it, lovingly, the rootables. We're giving people some context when BYU doesn't have a game about who needs to win to help BYU. So let's begin with game number one tonight. Chronologically speaking, there is a Friday night Big 12 game. BYU will be in that slot on October 18th against Oklahoma State. This time around, it is Houston at TCU. The Cougars in red have struggled mightily. 0-2 in the Big 12 this season. TCU been up and down. They're 1-1. Again, BYU takes on Houston final game of the season does not have a game scheduled with TCU in 2024. The Horned Frogs, heavy favorites, Austin. 16.5-point favorites, to be specific. Who should BYU fans be rooting for in this game between Houston and TCU? I'm going to answer it for you. Okay. It's Houston. BYU fans want every Big 12 team to acquire as many Big 12 losses as possible. The more chaos, the better. And if TCU loses this game, they have two losses. BYU has none. Houston already has two losses. I'm saying the quicker that all Big 12 teams can get to multiple losses, the more chaos and parity, the more tiebreakers required, that's a better scenario for BYU. Do you see it differently?
I'm going to go ahead and play devil's advocate.
Okay.
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 We know that TCU is not on BYU's schedule.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. There is this little thing that, you know, if they are on the schedule, I would prefer in an alternate universe, okay, every BYU opponent that BYU has to play, I want their confidence
super low
in the toilet.
Isn't Houston's already in the toilet at 1-4?
No.
Okay.
Because these are the types of teams that are scary that come on hot in October.
All right.
Okay. Turn things around. All of a sudden, they start trending this way.
They start playing hard for Coach Fritz.
They start playing hard. They start getting wins. They start putting things together. They start getting more, you know, comfortable with the team. Mm-hmm. Starting to get a little swagger. Okay. Those are the teams you don't want to be playing. Let me tell you how easy it is to get into the Big 12 championship when you win all your Big 12 games, right? So all BYU's opponents, if we could just have their confidence in the toilet, that's a positive. Then we're not having to pray for parity and, you know, tiebreakers to get in. It's now we're winning ball games, and now it's not a question.
Interesting, because that factors into a game that features BYU's next opponent later on, that way of thinking. So that said, let's go to game number two. I think Houston, you say TCU because you want Houston to remain on the bottom of the barrel. What do you have for us at game number two?
West Virginia at Oklahoma State. West Virginia is 1-0 in the Big 12, while the Cowboys are 0-2. Oklahoma State has a bye after this game before coming to play BYU 2 weeks from tonight. Okay, the Cowboys are 3-points favorites. The reason why this game is extremely important is Oklahoma State has always been, since spring, the talk of the town. Them and Kansas State. We've been surprised. They're 0-2 in Big 12 play. They do not look good, right?
Not right now.
They look horrendous. And them, again, another team coming that could get hot in October, coming to BYU. I'm going to go ahead and say Oklahoma State because I think deep down there is a good football team there. They just need to put it together. And if they do put it together, they're going to be a dangerous football team.
See, my logic remains the same here. West Virginia has won their only Big 12 game, and Oklahoma State is 0-2. Oklahoma State has multiple losses.
But they don't play BYU, Spence.
Oklahoma State does play BYU on
Oklahoma State does.
On October 18th.
Right.
Yes. So what I know West Virginia doesn't play BYU, but because Oklahoma State already has two losses, like, let them have a win and let them take West Virginia below BYU. I want BYU to be the last remaining unbeaten team in the Big 12. I want everybody else to have a loss.
Okay.
So if Oklahoma State beats West Virginia, one, good for them. They get out to Schneid a little bit. But maybe there's some false confidence in Alan Bowman, their quarterback, who I believe has been questionable at best. Love him. Great personality. Hasn't played well. But maybe there's just enough there to make them think, hey, we can go into Provo, and they're riding high.
Do you know who's one of the most winningest coaches in October?
Mike Gundy.
You don't want him to start turning it on, brother.
We will see. But I'm telling you, I want every other team to have a conference loss or two as soon as possible. Oklahoma State's already 0-2. West Virginia's won the only Big 12 game they played. Give me the Cowboys. I don't want to see the Cowboys on a three-game losing streak coming into BYU. Desperation team. Gundy plays well in October. Just absolutely backs against the wall.
0-3, it's over. 0-3, it's over. That's why I'm saying you lose this. Oklahoma State,
they're going to be 0-4 after BYU is what you're telling me?
Yeah, but put a coffin in them. They're done coming to Provo.
Wow. Okay, next game. Baylor, who BYU, of course, just beat, hits the road, and they take on the Iowa State Cyclones in Ames. Always a tough contest. The Bears are 0-2 in the league. Cyclones 1-0, and Iowa State is a 12-point favorite. So, once again, who should BYU fans be rooting for in this game? This is the easiest one of all, perhaps, Austin. This has
Iowa
to be
State.
Baylor.
No. I'm joking.
This has to be Baylor because of what BYU
Absolutely.
Just did.
Absolutely.
Strengthens your resume, and that would give Iowa State their first conference loss.
Listen, I think Iowa State right now, obviously, they were in the Big 12 discussion talks early on in the season, and they're backing it up. They're a great football team. Dan Campbell, another winning coach in October. So, yeah, we're voting for Baylor to get that win. You know, and things look nasty over at Baylor.
Dude, Dave Aranda, you brought up his name. He's playing for his coaching life. His
no
guys
question.
Are playing
that
for his coaching life.
Yeah, that seat's getting a little hot. And hopefully, you know, given what happened the last few quarters of the BYU game this last week, hopefully they can carry that momentum into this
game. I would love to see Baylor win their first game in Ames once again. Just take out as many Big 12 teams as possible and give them early losses so the BYU is alone. They feel lonely at the top with their unbeaten Big 12 mark.
I want just defeated opponents coming into Provo.
Okay. BYU, again, doesn't play Iowa State this year.
They don't play Iowa State. That's the one I agree with you on.
One of our guests later today, Kelly Ford, has BYU and Iowa State projected right now, based on his metrics, to play each other in the Big 12 championship game.
But 0-2 teams, dude, are never out of it. And Oklahoma State, there's a good team in there. And
you don't
want to get them hot in October.
Okay. We're going... We are agreeing on Baylor here, though.
Yes.
Strengthen BYU's resume a week after you win in Waco.
100%.
Okay, next game.
0-2 Kansas Jayhawks play at Arizona State. Jayhawks have been struggling, right? They're just looking for one win. BYU plays both of these teams in back-to-back weeks in late November. Arizona State, obviously the favorite in this game. Who should BYU fans root for?
Come on. Again, I feel like a broken record here. Root for Kansas. It would give Arizona State their second Big 12 loss. Jayhawks already have two. And plus, I like Lance Leipold. It's been brutal for Kansas.
Yeah.
They should at worst right now. Given how the Illinois game went, how the game against UNLV went, they should at worst, Austin, be 3-2. It's a way better football team than 1-4.
I would say the games outside of – so the games against UNLV, the game against who's the other tough opponent that they had?
They've played a few.
Okay, they're right there.
They lost to TCU last week.
TCU is the only one that I think was just a barn burner.
Sure.
But before that, Kansas is just right there. And again, once they put it together, there is a good football team in there. I mean, it's got one of my favorite secondaries in all of college football, right, led by Kobe Bryant. But, yeah, I would agree with you, right? Hoping Kansas gets that dub.
Yes. Yeah. Then both those teams coming out of the game have two Big 12 losses.
And BYU plays.
Okay.
Arizona State, want that confidence low.
All right, next one up. Game number 5 today in our Rootables segment. Texas Tech heads to Tucson. This is obviously one that carries added intrigue for BYU fans this week because BYU's next opponent is Arizona. Both teams are undefeated in the Big 12. Texas Tech has 2 wins, no losses. Arizona has technically only played 1 Big 12 game. They did play Kansas State, but because it was a non-conference scenario before the switch happened.
Kansas State opponent.
Right. So that doesn't count as a Big 12 loss. So Arizona right now is 1-0 in Big 12 play after shocking Utah last week. Who should BYU fans root for between the Red Raiders and Wildcats? Arizona. I want a ranked matchup, Austin. I want a ranked matchup in Provo Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. So now you want confidence coming into the game against BYU. You want a good. Now you're a college football fan. You're not a BYU fan anymore. Okay.
I want the ranked matchup. Well, because if BYU beats Arizona in that ranked matchup in a higher profile afternoon window on Saturday, it just legitimizes BYU that much more.
Yeah. If we were playing him at night, I'd say absolutely. You bring the number one team in the country. Things get weird at Lavelle Edwards.
Yes.
Okay. At stadium. But again, I would say you don't want a team riding high coming in and playing your squad, especially during a time where they haven't maybe been the most successful team out there. Now, the ranked, I got you. The ranked, coming in as a ranked team and us being able to beat them, right? That's going to catapult us, right, in the rankings, possibly for that college football playoff run. But I think that's going to be there at the end of the season if we've got 10 wins, if we've got 11 wins and we win the Big 12 championship.
So here's where I get a little concerned. If Texas Tech beats Arizona on the road, now Tech is 3-0 in the Big 12.
That's true. But Texas Tech, I don't think...
BYU doesn't play Texas Tech, which has been your whole stance.
Right, exactly. So what's more valuable, a win or a loss to a ranked opponent?
This is an intriguing debate.
Right.
Of course, like, you always want to win. You always want to win.
Right.
But, I mean, yes, the fan in me would love to see a ranked matchup and Arizona come into Provo and just have that much bigger of a spotlight. Either way, hey.
By the way, to all you Cougar fans, agreeing with Spencer 100%, love just playing devil's advocate right now, right? Given the other side of the pendulum here. But I think Arizona coming in here as a top 25 team, as a football fan, that's what you want to see.
Mm, they would be 2-0 in Big 12 play. BYU would be 2-0.
It'd be
4-1 versus 5-0, both ranked.
Rock would show up. They'd be a little bit louder.
There'd be extra juice.
Yeah.
Last time a ranked team visited Lavelle Edwards Stadium wasn't too long ago. A couple of weeks ago. Didn't go well for them.
I guess.
Okay, give me the added juice. Okay, game number six. Austin, what do we have?
Yeah, UCF faces off in a state game against Florida. Okay, non-conference game. UCF is a 2.5-point favorite as the road team. Who should BYU fans be rooting for?
This one's easy. This one's simple. Big 12 over SEC.
No question. Back all day.
Next, right? This UCF over Florida, there's no
and
you, debate.
UCF, besides last week against Colorado when they looked awful, right? UCF's a good football team, man.
Yes.
And they Florida's not doing well. The coach there, Florida's on the hot seat as well. But a UCF win would be huge for the conference.
Okay, we'll take Big 12 over SEC collectively. Here are a few other games to keep an eye on this weekend that could have an effect on BYU's chances to climb in the previously discussed AP rankings and strengthen the resume. SMU at number 22, Louisville. Big ACC game. SMU trying to legitimize themselves as a dark horse ACC championship contender. We want the Mustangs to keep on winning because BYU beat them head-to-head. That helps BYU's resume. Number 9, Missouri at number 25, Texas A&M. Why are we talking about this game? Because if Texas A&M holds serve on their home field and that 12th man gets rocking in College Station, Austin, then maybe BYU jumps up a spot or two because Missouri would then drop. There's a chance that A&M could leapfrog BYU as well after that big of a win, but let's just see what happens. Maybe it helps BYU jump up a spot or two. Then there's Ole Miss at South Carolina. South Carolina is a strange team. I mean, they've had some juggernauts on the ropes and then couldn't finish the deal. Notably, LSU let that one slip away. They get Ole Miss. Ole Miss is struggling a little bit because of how they performed last week against Kentucky. Give me South Carolina over Ole Miss. That for sure would help BYU jump up a spot.
No question. But, you know, Ole Miss, this is kind of a point in the season where if you let a Kentucky loss define you, right, that could ruin your entire season. Kentucky is a good football team, SEC football team. An Ole Miss loss would be nothing but great for the Cougars.
Okay. Other game, Michigan at Washington. Hey, let's take Washington over Michigan. By the way, Washington is a favorite in that game. Seattle. Unranked Washington is a favorite over number 10 Michigan.
Is there outside of BYU, is there better coaching staff than what's at Washington? Have you seen the talent that's at Washington?
I have. And the staff is amazing, to your point as well.
It's unbelievable. Pete Carroll's son, Belichick's son.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've got
some notables.
They've got some notables there.
All right. Our question of the day. Outside of BYU football, who is on a bye week, where do your rooting loyalties lie in the Big 12? Seth LaPierce on Instagram answers, Kansas State. The better they do, the better BYU's win looks, okay? Kyle 813 on X says, Baylor and Arizona. One will make BYU the only undefeated team in the conference. The other will hopefully set up BYU for another ranked matchup in LES, which is kind of along the lines of what I was saying. Baylor to beat Iowa State, and then Arizona to beat Texas Tech, setting up next Saturday. That'd be a lot of fun. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Though Arizona limping into Provo, maybe after some frustrations.
Dude, I'm telling you, you want them low. You want them in the dumps. You want them questioning themselves. All right, number 20, BYU Women's Volleyball looks to get back in the win column tonight at number 15, Arizona State. You can watch at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Up next, he's a College Football Hall of Fame quarterback. Gifford Nielsen, BYU legend, joins the show to get us ready for some football and conference weekend. This is BYU Sports Nation. Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside former NFL and BYU wide receiver standout Austin Colley. It is our absolute pleasure to welcome in a BYU football legend, one of the great quarterbacks that worked in that Lavelle Edwards factory line of amazing quarterbacks. He is Elder S. Gifford Nielsen. Welcome back to BYU Sports.
The guy that started it all.
Yeah, really nice to be here. Really nice to be back and to see what's happening with our football team and the excitement that's going on with everything happening at BYU.
Okay, so let's begin with what's happening in your life right now, because things are to a degree slowing down for you after a busy calling with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So what's happening in your life now?
So Wendy and I just returned from West Africa. We had the assignment to lead the church in West Africa. It's a thriving and growing place. It's just a miraculous place. The people there are amazing. They love Jesus. They love their family. They are smart. They're intelligent. They believe that what we are teaching them is the way to find joy and happiness in life. And so it's been tough to leave them, say goodbye to them, because in many respects they become family to us. But on the other hand, it's time for three African general authorities to take over and take the leadership reins there. And Alfred Kiungu and Yinka Jitteron and Isaac Morrison are just doing a great job just keeping it going right there, because it's really exciting what's happening in Africa right now.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So going back to your career, has there been anything in your career, like a first start as a quarterback, more nerve-wracking than speaking at General Conference?
Well, you bring up General Conference, and it's kind of, it's a really unique experience, and we're really excited now to be able to hear from our prophets, seers, and revelators this weekend, especially as the world continues to turn, and there are a lot of interesting things happening out there. But to be a part of that and to be asked to participate and speak in General Conference, and in the last General Conference, I gave the opening prayer. It's really interesting to walk to that podium, but you know you're going in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know that the Lord has given you what you're supposed to say and what you're supposed to do. And so you just have confidence that the message that you deliver is the message that needs to be delivered. So really anxious to hear what our leaders tell us this weekend, especially in what we're dealing with in the world today. So. And, you know, I think General Conference right now is even becoming more emphasized than it ever has been because of the direction that we need.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it, to say the least.
More interesting each and every single time, right?
Yeah, so so we're watching what's happening with this football team right now. We're watching what's happening in BYU athletics overall. But really the most important thing is taking care of our own personal witness of what we believe and building strong eternal families, and that's what we're going to hear again this weekend, so anxious to do that.
Well, it's something that BYU's head football coach Kalani Sitake feels very strongly in. He often mentions family and culture and environment, meaning actual families for his players and his coaches and those on his staff, and then the family culture that now exists within BYU football as a team, and they keep going back to that. We've heard so much, almost to the point of it becoming a cliche, love and learn, Spencer, love and learn, love and learn. But it feels like they have embraced that now, and it makes them play harder and better quality football for each other when that culture exists. When you look across, when you legitimately feel like that guy is my brother. These are guys. You've played on some good football teams and some football teams that maybe didn't have that culture. So if you could, how would you compare and contrast when the culture and that love and learn and that brotherhood mentality exists and when it does not?
Let me just start by saying this, that there is a purpose in life, and there is a purpose, and it's not really to play athletics. The purpose in life is to build the kingdom, right? You're doing that, but you do that through athletics. One of the great things about Lavelle and his teaching when we started this whole thing was to use the athletic program to do what we're asked to do, and that is to build the kingdom throughout the world and to make sure that we are proper examples of everything good. It doesn't take away from the fact that you want to win. You want to win.
Yes.
You go to practice to win, but you're respectful no matter what happens. And that's the culture that Lavelle set when he started this thing. And to see Kalani continue to adopt what Lavelle was teaching all of us. I mean, I'm looking at Austin right now. I mean, look at the influence and the impact that Austin has made in his life. When you come to BYU, you come with a purpose, and that purpose is to go out and do the very best job you can to win for your brothers or sisters, depending on what sport you're playing, and prepare yourself for something far greater than what's going to happen on a football field and what's going to happen on a basketball court or a tennis court or a soccer field. But you're learning the lessons to help you perpetuate that the talents that you've been given for a greater and higher purpose. And so that's what I love to see. I mean, if you have that culture where you're you really care about the people that are next to you, then you're gonna be successful. It's really interesting, and it's gonna be fulfilling. It was really interesting last week. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Brian Billick just came back. Well, Brian was my tight end.
Yes.
You know, so I had, you know, Brian came here from the Air Force Academy, and he didn't know anything about this culture, and he just came back, and I think there was a greater appreciation. There was an appreciation while he was here of what we were doing with the offense, which he adopted and took to the NFL and won a Super Bowl with.
Yeah,
but just coming back, there was a different look in Brian Billick's eyes and in his heart as he fully appreciated going full circle with this thing, leaving the Air Force, coming here, having an incredible experience here, being put in the Hall of Fame. But between that, taking the culture that he learned here and putting it in the NFL and becoming an unbelievable coach in the NFL and winning a Super Bowl.
He's been very outspoken about that and the influence that Lavelle Edwards and the assistants had on him while he was here. And he told a great story about when he met his wife at BYU because he didn't know the culture. He asked her the question, this is not a joke, because he thought that there were two separate religions at BYU.
Yeah, he did.
There was LDS and that there were Mormons.
Yeah.
So he said, are you LDS or are you Mormon?
Yeah. It's a classic story.
She said, you've got a lot to learn.
It's a classic story, but you know, what a person he has become. And I think a lot of it is because of the influence coming as not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but feeling the spirit of the brotherhood that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yes, when you incorporate that into your culture, that you are really working with each other and helping each other accomplish things greater than maybe you even thought you could accomplish, is there anything more fulfilling?
No.
Austin?
Nothing is as magical as that.
Yeah. And I think that's what you're seeing with this BYU football team right now. They really care. This team has got grit. This team has got determination. You want to pull your hair out just a little bit when you see some of the hat. I mean, if you just looked at the Baylor game, that was classic BYU football in the first half.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, you were going just hang on. But the character that Kalani has developed and the resiliency that Kalani has developed along with Aaron Roderick and Jay Hill, who are the coordinators, you know, they're focused, is something that you try to teach, you really try to incorporate,
yeah,
but then you see if it works,
yeah,
in a tight situation.
And they made the plays. That was my whole point. This team, they said they were different, and now they're proving that they're different in those clutch scenarios where you need to see the character.
You have to.
Trust really manifest itself.
And the only way you learn that, really, Spencer, and Austin knows this, the only way you learn that is when you get in the heat of battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to come up with something. You got to come up with some kind of a play.
Yeah.
If the offense is a little bit stagnant, then you got to come up with some defensive play. Great interception at the end of the game because, you know, I mean, we're all sitting there going, come on, just put this thing away, put this thing away.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are reasons why I think BYU didn't really put it away. When you lose your center.
That's tough.
If you're a quarterback and you lose your center, the young kid that came in,
Sonny Maccasini?
Yeah, Son did a great job. I mean, if you lose your center, the thing you're concentrating more than anything is making sure that you get the snap.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get the snap, you don't get the play, right?
Yeah.
And so it's got to be kind of automatic. But when you lose your center, that's a big deal. When you lose one of your guards, that's another big deal. And so during the course of the game, somebody has to step up. But during the course of stepping up, there's got to be continuity in stepping up because Baylor was not going to, at home, sit there and let BYU just run over them. So they upped their level of intensity. They started coming after defensively. They started to get a little bit more aggressive and started coming after our quarterback a little bit more. So, and Jake standing in there.
Yeah.
Doing the best he could, but you know what it's like. You have to.
Yeah.
All has to kind of come together in a very special way.
You talk about resilience, right? And I don't think there's a football player out there that's had more resilience, both mentally, physically, than Jake Rutzloff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
His ability to answer the call, even when maybe Cougar fans were you know crying for his spot to be taken by Gary Bohannon, right? I mean the idea, I don't think people understand how hard it is to constantly be hearing, hey, you're not the guy, you're not the guy, you're not the guy,
and then maybe have a game where you're given more reason to say you're not the guy, but then continue to keep your nose in the dirt and stick with it.
And you go out and you are the guy.
Yeah.
You are the guy. And Jake is the guy. And Jake has really shown me a lot of character with what he has done. Yeah. We all know when Jake is sitting there with his in proper throwing technique and having confidence in what he's doing, that guy has got an arm.
Oh, yeah.
And he's accurate. There are some tendencies. Sometimes he kind of plays outside of himself just a little bit, and that was that one interception when he was rolling to his right. He didn't make a very good throw, and he shouldn't have thrown that ball. But haven't we all done that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that many times. I threw it right to a guy one time, and he goes, are you throwing this game? And I said, no, I'm not. I didn't see him. But I hit him between the numbers, and people were going, what the heck is going on here, right? But he has shown that he is a leader and that he can make plays. He can read defenses. And so, you know, you look at his completion percentage, you know, and you look at his passing yards per game and what he's doing right now. He's got a plethora of receivers. He's got he's got talent all over the field. He can, yeah. I mean, he's got Austin Collies running all over the place. He's got Mike Cronister. You remind me a lot of my Mike Cronister was Austin Collie. And it's Roberts now, and it's
Darius.
Yeah, Darius Lassiter.
Darius Lassiter. He's got the talent, and he's got tight ends that I think he could utilize just a little bit more in this offense, but that's going to be up to the coaches to do that. And so you look at what's happening here. This is not a surprise, and especially with what Jay Hill's doing defensively, because you watch that defense right now, and this is hard when you're an offense. You try to attack weaknesses of a defense. Well, right now, BYU's got better defensive backs that can play man coverage than I think we've ever had.
Yep.
And I think he's getting to a point where he's starting to control the defensive line of scrimmage with Denny and Nelson and a host of others. And the linebackers are very active. I've been in West Africa, so I haven't really known the names of all of these.
You haven't kept your tabs on BYU football over there in West Africa?
But I'm looking at some very, very active linebackers right now that are as good as linebackers and are as fast and as strong as I've seen around here. So this is not a surprise to me that they're playing well. I think that shows the first half of that Baylor game showed what this team can do.
It was
impressive.
In a word, it was fun. It was fun for BYU fans to watch that. Okay, so if you want more of this amazing conversation and insight with a college football Hall of Fame quarterback in Gifford Nielsen, then you should join us all on this cruising with the Cougs scenario, which you have opted for.
I have opted
for. You're going to get on the boat with a bunch of BYU fans.
April, what is it, 11th through the 18th? We're going to get on a boat. We're going to have just a wonderful time. And you know what? When you get a bunch of former athletes together, the stories even get better.
I
can promise you on that cruise, I've never thrown an interception. It was only touchdown passes. never thrown an incompleted pass. And I heard that Jim McMahon's going to be on the cruise. And that's always interesting. You know, I don't know how Jim accepted to get on, but
Jimmy Mack.
I would have loved to have been behind the scenes on that deal, how we negotiated that.
Well, you know, Jim is such a great guy.
He's a great guy.
I mean, he was our punter.
Yeah.
He was my punter.
He did it all.
And so, you know, when you think about that, Doug Scoville used to say, let's just get first downs because we don't know what this dude's going to do.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's – if he's back in punt formation, he might not even have shoes on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just going to be a wonderful time, and I just I think if you're a BYU fan, you want to be on this cruise.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you'll have experiences that you could not get anywhere else. Well, you're never going to get a bunch of us together like that.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. You're not getting not one, not two, but six legendary BYU quarterbacks have announced they were coming on the BYU cruise. You, Robbie Bosco, Coach Doman, Max Hall, Mark Wilson, Jim McMahon. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're enjoying another amazing lineup of 30 other athletes. I got to get in the gym, so I'm not wearing a T-shirt in the pool single day.
We'll tell everybody on the cruise who is the best BYU quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, that will be.
I think we should have a competition
tease.
To kind
that's
of.
That information will be disseminated.
That's the tease. It'll be war, but we'll tell.
We don't need anything else besides that. It's great to catch up with you.
Great,
nice
great
to be
you.
With you.
So grateful for your service and all that you've done and that you're back. And you get to hang out and talk a little BYU football with us.
Yeah, thank you, too, for all you're doing and the entire staff here. It's been amazing. I, I'm a BYU broadcasting graduate.
Alum?
Yes.
Yeah, so to see where this place is right now and what you've been able to accomplish and the content that you're providing is pretty special. So congratulations to the entire team.
Thank you so much, and thank you again for your time. Elder Eskiff with Nielsen on BYU Sports Nation. After the break, we'll preview a very busy weekend of BYU sports, including a loaded NFL lineup, two Big 12 games in Arizona, and some playoff baseball. Did you know we got a Coug in Major League Baseball playoffs? Let's talk about it next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Austin Cauley. Let's roll out your Friday headlines.
Cougars in the NFL Part 1. Kyle Van Noy was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month after recording 6 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, and a forced fumble in September despite playing with a broken orbital bone.
Wild.
Tyler Allgeier had 6 carries for 12 yards, 3 catches for 12 yards last night for the Falcons and a 36-30 win over the Bucks in overtime.
Also wild. That game was nuts. Cougars in the NFL Part 2. Fred Warner and the San Francisco 49ers host Kyrus Tonga and the Cardinals. Van Noy, just mentioned him. The Ravens take on Ryan Rico and the Cincinnati Bengals. Blake Freeland and the Indianapolis Colts will face Jacksonville. Brady Christensen and his Carolina Panthers on the road in Chicago to play the Bears. Michael Davis and the Commanders, they take on the Cleveland Browns. And Zane Anderson, Chris Brooks, and the Green Bay Packers play the Rams. Puka Nacua, of note, is available to return from the IR next week.
Let's go. Let's hope that's the case. The Big 12 women's basketball preseason poll was released yesterday, and BYU was picked to finish 12th. Last year, the Cougars were picked 11th and finished 10th in the BYU's first season in the Big 12. Hopefully we can...
Listen, they're going to make at least a 3-spot jump there. Pick 12th, I think they're going to finish at least 9th.
Okay.
There's enough talent in that room.
To make that happen?
To make that happen. Absolutely. Okay. Hey, good luck to former BYU basketball, or baseball standout, rather, Daniel Schneeman, whose Cleveland Guardians take on the Detroit Tigers in the American League Divisional Series beginning tomorrow. How great is it to have a former Coug in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and Schneeman has had a role for this Guardian squad.
Now I have a reason to watch baseball.
Go.
Number 20, BYU Women's Volleyball will look to get back in the win column tonight at number 15, Arizona State. The Sun Devils swept the Cougars in the second round of the NCAA tournament last season. You can watch tonight's game at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU Women's Soccer also hanging out in Arizona tonight, but in Tucson as they take on the Wildcats of Arizona in a Big 12 conference match. BYU 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 tie in Big 12 play this season, while the Wildcats have 2 wins, 2 losses, and a tie. You can watch tonight's game live 10 Eastern on ESPN+.
And number 5, BYU Women's Cross Country competed this morning at Joe Piane. How do you say that? Piane?
Yeah.
Okay, Notre Dame Invitational in South Bend, Indiana this morning. Lexi Holiday Lowry took first overall to lead the BYU to a second place finish. Jenna Hutchins and Carmen Alder also took fourth and 10th place respectively. The Cougars finished just 7 points behind number 2 Northern Arizona.
Good luck to BYU men's tennis competing in Idaho State rather this weekend in the Bengal Invitational.
And good luck to BYU men's and women's swim and dive who are in Grand Junction, Colorado this weekend for the Intermountain Shootout.
Shout out to the Western Slope in Grand Junction. KJCT News 8, Austin, that's where I got my start, baby.
I mean, you owe a little more to Grand Junction than that, dude. I mean, what'd you do in Grand Junction?
We snowboarded and, we watched a lot of high school sports.
That sounds like a run road town.
Hey.
One stoplight town?
Beautiful outdoor scene. Okay. Colorado River, outdoorsman's paradise.
Gotcha.
For sure. After the break, college football metrics guru Kelly Ford joins us. BYU fans have liked his material because the Cougars have been overperforming. Why does his metric believe BYU has the best chance of any team to make the Big 12 championship game of all 16 in the conference? This is BYUSN.
This is a sight for everybody to behold.
We are going to do what we want, how we want, when we want.
Vegas has this 3-point underdog. Vegas didn't see you guys in the summer.
BYU! BYU! BYU!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B on a Friday. Joining the show now is Kelly Ford, return visitor to the program. He is the creator of the K Ford Ratings, which is an extensive college football metric. Kelly, great to have you back on BYU Sports Nation as we look and discuss your number one overachiever in the game right now, which is BYU football. How do you make sense of this right now that BYU is so far ahead of the curve, Kelly?
Yeah, well, Spencer, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. And yes, BYU has been one of, if not the stories of the season here. My preseason realistic expectations projected 2-3 as the most likely record for BYU through five games. Obviously, the Cougs are 5-0. That nearly plus three more wins than projected is the number one differential in the nation. That does make them my biggest overachievers to date. And really, I think the biggest reason why, kind of what surprised me the most, is the defense. I projected this unit to be number 82 in the preseason, and I actually think that was reasonable because this unit had ranked number 73 last year. They were number 102 in 2022, and they were number 83 in 2021. But through week five, this unit is currently ranked number 26 nationally on that side of the ball. It's a massive improvement over expected, only allowing more than 15 points one time. This offense ranks number 46. It's pretty close to where I had them, number 57 in the preseason, but it's the defense. It has been much, much better than we thought. Guys, if you ignore the COVID year of 2020, this could be the best defense in Provo of the CFP era.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We've been saying it for quite some time now, right? Especially in the secondary. The secondaries, BYU's never had a secondary as deep as they do now. Okay, Kelly, in your opinion, does BYU have a chance, any chance at all, at being an at-large bid for the college football playoff? Or do you think they have to come away with a Big 12 championship win?
I think BYU does have a chance to be an at-large team in the CFP. Given BYU's schedule difficulty, I think the Cougs need to get to at least 10 regular season wins to be in that at-large conversation. And right now, my numbers assign a 42% chance to win at least 10 games.
Wow.
So if BYU gets to 10 wins, Kelly, there's a good chance you might be in Arlington. I swear, I'm not just saying this because you guys are BYU. This is what the numbers say. But even if the tiebreakers were to go against BYU, I do think 10 wins should be the aim for any CFP talk. And again, 42% chance to reach that number. And that doesn't even account for what are the chances that you get into Arlington and get that AQ.
So out of curiosity, Kelly, what do your numbers and metrics say are the toughest remaining games for BYU on the schedule? I'm sure Utah's probably in the mix there on the road in Salt Lake City. But how did the top, you know, two or three most difficult games shake out for BYU in the remaining schedule?
There are only two games remaining that my numbers currently make BYU an underdog. That is at UCF in week 9 and at Utah in week 11. Both are projected to be one possession games, though. So, I mean, these are toss up games. There is an off week, as you guys know, between those two games, but that is a tough stretch right there of two games. You got a 44% chance at UCF, 36% chance win expectancy at Utah. It's important to keep in mind, though, and I caution this with every single fan base, even though BYU is the favorite in all of their other games remaining, and Houston's the only one that's not currently projecting as a one possession game. So even though BYU is a favorite, a lot of these games are projected to be close. So it could go either way. The Big 12 race should be very, very exciting. And BYU has put themselves right at the forefront of that.
Kelly, other than BYU, what Big 12 football team or what has been the biggest surprise coming out of week 6?
Yeah, the biggest surprise, I'll go in the Big 12, I'll keep it that way, and it's a negative surprise, unfortunately, for this fan base. Florida State, I know we're not Big 12, Florida State's been my biggest underachiever, but if you look beyond the Seminoles, I think that's an obvious one. Number two on that list is Kansas. Yeah. And the Jayhawks have been downgraded nearly 5 points since the preseason of my model. That's actually not even in the top 20 of biggest downgrades. Florida State's number one in that metric as well. So just a bad year in Tallahassee. But Kansas has 2.5 fewer wins than projected through week 5. So BYU's overachieved by 2.5 plus wins. Kansas has underachieved by that. It's worth noting, Kansas is 1-4 this season. They are 0-3. In one possession games. BYU is 2-0 in those games. It just goes to show how massive your record in one possession games is and how big of an impact, because you only play 12 games, how big of an impact it can have on defining success or failure of a team season. How do you do in those close games?
Kelly Ford is the creator of the K-Ford Ratings. He is a college football insider and analyst. Okay, you project right now that BYU has a 42% chance of winning 10 games, which is wild in and of itself. But I also believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you are saying BYU has the best chance of any team in the Big 12 right now of making the Big 12 championship game. If that is the case, why is that? What is happening to make you and the metrics push BYU into that Big 12 title game?
It truly is remarkable, and that is the case as things stand right now with the updates that we saw last week, both on the field and in the model. It now has BYU as number one in the projected Big 12 standings, as you can see there on the screen, or that's the overall standings. The projected Big 12 standings, BYU and Iowa State, both with 6.2 projected conference wins. That's just ahead of Kansas State at 5.9, and Colorado, how about that, at 5.6. The reason that BYU is number one in the projected conference standings for me right now, which you can find on the website, BYU is already 2-0 in conference play. You've already banked those two wins. They obviously can't go away. Colorado and Texas Tech are the only other teams that can say that right now. Also, your schedule difficulty is number 9 out of 16. So it's middle of the road, but you've already played one of your biggest tests in Kansas State. And we've talked about the upcoming games that might be challenging. But I think it's a combination of BYU being much better than we thought. You're already 2-0, and the schedule difficulty is not overly difficult. It's right there in the middle of the road, which for a team at the top of the conference, you'll take.
I think one of the biggest surprises out of the Big 12 is Oklahoma State, right? I think many people have them picked as one of the top contenders for the Big 12 championship. Tell me this. Does your models take into account how good Jeff Van Gundy is in October?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy, I mean, he is a underrated college football coach, I think. And maybe not in Big 12 circles, but nationally, he is an underrated college football coach. What he has been able to build in Stillwater for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, Oklahoma State's a top 15 program in that time. I don't think many people realize that, at least from a power rating standpoint. So the model does not explicitly account for Jeff Gundy or any coaching staff and what they're doing from that standpoint. However, it does know that this historically is a good program that is still built into the model with some of the preseason data that's in there. But yeah, there is no doubt that Oklahoma State has underachieved so far to this point. It's still a top 30 power rated team for me. You know, we talked about in the preseason how tough their schedule was right out of the gate in the Big 12 with Utah and Kansas State. You dropped them both. You were hoping not to. The Kansas State game got a little ugly. You're still looking at 8-4 as the most likely record. You've got a 14% chance to reach at least 6 Big 12 wins, which I think that's going to be your cutoff at a minimum. If you don't reach 6 wins and you're not going to have a chance to make it to Arlington, even if you do get 6, you might lose out on some tiebreakers. So the path is still there for Oklahoma State, but it's very narrow, especially because now they've lost the head-to-head against two of the preseason favorites in the conference, Utah and Kansas State.
And they got to take on right now the number one team in the standings in BYU on October 18th, which we look forward to, but not before, obviously, the Cougars get a significant test with the Arizona Wildcats. Kelly, it's been great to talk to you. I do need to make one clarifying point. We all love a good Gundy, but Mike Gundy is the Oklahoma State head coach. Jeff Van Gundy is the former NBA coach.
Yeah, same Gundys. They have to be family.
I just had to throw that. I love Jeff Van Gundy, too.
Jeff Van Gundy, Mike Gundy, same.
Somebody said Jeff and it got in my head. I was like, it doesn't sound right, but I'm rolling. We got Jeff, we got Stan, NFL. We're talking Mike Gundy. Comments remain. Guys, he is an underrated college football coach. Clearly, even in my book, since I don't know his first name.
But hey, no, you're right. And he's got an amazing mullet to boot when he opts to go that route. Hey, Kelly, in all seriousness, amazing stuff that you've put together. We enjoy looking at the metrics and watching BYU shock the nation and overachieve. We'll do this again soon, brother. Be well.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You great got it. You. Kelly Ford on BYU Sports.
Jeff Van Gundy's not winning a lot of football games, is he?
Well, listen, again, we all love a good Gundy, and they're both good Gundys.
That is true.
They're both good Gundys.
The BYU women's soccer has a big road test at Arizona tonight as the Cougars look to climb the Big 12 standings. You can watch at 10 Eastern on ESPN+.
We'll wrap up today's show with our elite voice of the day. A little rise and shout out as we close out the weekend and go into general conference. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, outside of BYU football, who are on a bye this week? Where do your rooting loyalties lie in the Big 12 Conference? At Aaron Palmer on X says, I want everyone BYU beats to win big. Obviously, make the resume stronger. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from our good friend at Cougar Stats, who says on X, fill in the blank, Utah opponent. Is it that simple for you, Austin?
Not really. Not right now, right?
Yeah. Well, you work out with some, you work with some guys.
Yeah,
right?
I do. I've got, I shouldn't say that.
No. It's all good. It's all good. We love the human before we love the team they play for. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU Track and Field hosted the 12th annual Courageous Kids Invitational at the Robinson Track and Field Complex last night.
Typical.
Celebrating children with special needs in the community.
Outstanding work. Our thanks to today's guests, Gifford Nielsen, the College Football Hall of Fame quarterback, and Kelly Ford of the K-Ford Metrics. For Austin, I am Spencer. Shout out to Patty Edwards. We'll see you back here on Monday. Go Cougs!